2.5 years later, he's gone to Greece.
He's done nothing on it. Anyway, we're on live.
Are we actually?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
it's just a sort on recording that we talk shit. We're always talking shit. But welcome back to a new episode, man.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're recording, dude. We're on, my guy.
Oh, shit. Hold on.
Yeah.
Oh, la, la, la.
Anyway, this week.
What's happening, bro?
Ah, look, man, not a whole lot. Just start recovering from the Christmas, New Year's period. Too much food, too much beer.
Too much football.
Well, I mean, there's never too much football.
Well, right? Good, because there's about 13 days straight of English football or something like that. Yeah. Ridiculous coming up, so...
It is
love that, love that for us.
Yeah, I hate that for the players. Imagine having to play that many games.
Oh, bro, it'd be terrible.
If I go to the gym like 3 days in a row, I start to.
Well, do you remember when we played like park football? You play Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, and you were destroyed.
It's done, bro.
There was no training during the week.
No, fuck that. Like Saturday, Sunday. So training's cancelled.
We need you to recover. Thanks, coach.
What's your level of recovery? Just literally lay on the couch going, yeah. I'm fucking dead.
Maybe a short appearance at the pub. I don't know. A couple of schooners.
I've earned this beer, right?
I think the yeast has something to do with the recovery and the hops.
Yeah, it's all about the hops.
That's how you get the hops.
Where are we starting today, bro?
Well, we've got an update. Our boy Cunha, big fans of him this season.
Yeah, Cunha's been going well.
And we knew that he got the misconduct 2-game ban.
Mm-hmm.
For taking the steward's glasses off his face and breaking them.
Look, the steward's a piece of shit. He deserves
it. Yeah, I heard he said heaps of anti-Semitic things. I don't know. But Cunha, being the nice guy he is, had offered to fix and repair and pay for all the costs of the glasses.
Excellent.
So he's had his fine reduced by £40,000. And his ban reduced. So we'll see him back in action. No time.
Look, that makes sense, right? 200-pound glasses, and you save yourself $40,000. That works for me.
I like that deal.
Yeah, it's a great deal.
It's a good deal. Quinton did a good deal. Such a lovely man. But onto some good gossip for the week. West Ham. We know they're in trouble. Bit of turmoil. David Sullivan has the solution. He has appointed his ex-porn star partner, now 55, who has some top credits that include horny housewives and lesbian nurses.
Hey.
Eve Vorley, real name Emma Benton Hughes.
Eve Vorley is her porn name.
Eve Vorley is her porn name.
Yep.
And Emma Benton Hughes is her legitimate
birth certificate name.
Yeah. So she's been appointed to the board. Now, I'll mind you that he's also appointed his son as the managing director of the board. So I think we can start to see how West Ham's doing so poorly.
Look, it's a family club. Clearly.
I mean,
it's a family club.
You know, I use the term partner, not wife. Ex-porn star. Look, to be fair, David Sullivan, from what I understand, he made a lot of his money in the adult industry.
Really?
That's my understanding. So that's where the...
Actor.
No. I believe he's on the back end of it.
Oh, thank God.
Rather than on camera. Yeah. I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see David Sullivan with his dick out. No, thank you.
I don't want to see him with his shirt off. Now... So, I mean, look, I think that's a kind of a clear view into what's happening at West Ham.
Look, that kind of makes sense, yeah. They're kind of being run by a ex-porn star. Kind of shows where they are in the ladder.
Well, yeah. And then the son of... Well, I mean, I shouldn't know who the mother is, but, yeah, you know, maybe she's very respectable. I don't know.
She could be a real respectable woman. And David Sullivan's just gone, look, I'm going to bang this porn star now. Good for him. I wouldn't be putting my porn star partner on the board of a football club, but, you know, who am I to talk?
But, I mean, that's why we don't have football clubs. That's why we don't have them.
That's exactly right.
So, look, what are you going to do?
No, good for him. I don't see this getting better.
Best
for West
of
Ham.
Luck, West Ham. That's good, what I've got to
exactly.
say.
Yeah, exactly. Good for them.
That's maybe what I've got to say.
Look, it seems like they're trying anything to get better.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, look, when we jump into their game, they've had even more turmoil this week.
Yeah.
So
we'll get into that.
It's not going to get any better for them. But onto some better, more interesting kind of story that I found this week. Jordi Amat. So he's a former Swansea football player. Played in the La Liga, played in the Premier League. So he grew up in Spain, and after playing in the La Liga and the Premier League, he had an offer to go and play in Indonesia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, his grandma is of Indonesian descent, and she was always telling him when he was a kid that, you know, you're a prince, and one day you'll understand, but you're a prince. Anyway, he assumed that all this was joking. And he's gone across to Indonesia with his grandmother to go play. Turns out he's a direct descendant of the 17th Raja of Sanghi Islands, and he's now recognized as royalty within the country.
Sick.
Because of that.
That's sick.
Imagine that's your story. You just think you're just a regular guy, decent at football, playing around the world. This is great. He's lived a great life. Yeah. And then goes to play in Indonesia of all places, and turns out that you are royalty.
Yeah.
So he is now the captain of the Indonesian national
team. Straight away.
But has to balance his football life with his royal requirements.
Okay. All right. Now, I reckon you could pull that shit off, especially for the prince.
I mean, fuck. You know what it sounds like? It's like a Disney movie.
I was thinking like Coming to America, but he already knew he was prince. So that's a bad example.
Well, he didn't really. He assumed it was all a joke.
I mean,
as you would,
as
right?
As you would, yeah, straight out. Yeah. If someone said to me, "Oh, you're going to be like the Prince of Blacktown,"
I mean, I'd also have. I think I'd have a few questions around. Why the fuck didn't you tell me earlier? Well, why are we living like this? Well, aren't we living in castles and palaces in Indonesia?
Well, he has lived a good life. I mean, he did play Premier League. La Liga, played against some of the best in the world. I saw a photo of him against Ronaldo. That's cool. But yeah, royalty is next level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Riding elephants and shit?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That seems pretty sweet to me.
I've seen Coming to America and it looks pretty sweet to be the prince of anywhere. Luzamundo seems like a good place. I'm sure Indonesia.
We're all going to find out. We'll be in Indonesia next week, baby.
Yeah, yeah, we will.
Yeah.
But that's mad. That's mad. Good for him.
But yeah, look, you've got some shit for us this week. What's going on?
Yeah, look, I've got a little bit of news here. So one for you. I read somewhere that Elon Musk is reportedly looking at buying Liverpool. Would you like to elaborate on that?
I'd love for Elon to buy Liverpool.
The richest man in the world.
Fantastic. We've become like the most absurd club ever.
Right. Yeah.
So look, how it's come about is that his dad was on a podcast and his dad has gone ahead and said, let me take a step back. The lady running the podcast, Scouser, she supports Liverpool and had asked the question, would Elon ever look to buy the Liverpool Football Club?
Oh, okay, yeah.
He didn't want to comment on it, went back and forth for a while. Eventually, she gets out of him to say, of course he'd love to buy Liverpool Football Club, because it's a big club. He had a grandmother from Liverpool.
Yeah,
so he has links
okay.
to the city. So look, there's commonality there. But I just don't see it being a rumor that's going to happen anytime soon.
Like there's no traction behind it.
I don't think that he's spoken to anyone about it. I don't think it's like any kind of serious headline. I think it's just like a kind of a clickbait. If anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, but it was big clickbait.
Oh, 100%.
Right, everyone was all over it.
I watched the goddamn podcast clip where he's sitting there going, well, I mean, anyone would love to buy Liverpool. Yes, I'd love to buy Liverpool too. And then, the response is, well, not everyone has the money. He's like, but he also does still run three other companies.
And is like taking over, or not taking over, he's helping out Trump with like the Doge.
Yeah, that's.
And he's now, have you seen he's also like getting in with like England and he's. He's got so much to worry about. I reckon once he takes care of governments, you move into football later on and you just hope it'd be your club.
Well, we do need to get another owner in. LeBron was cool to the Diddy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back away, not today.
Well, as LeBron said, ain't no party like a Diddy party. So.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. Now, one about, you know, we talk about Liverpool and we'll talk about Chelsea. The suspended Ukrainian star, Mykhailo Mudryk, has reportedly... Oh,
the man who was doping but still wasn't good?
Yeah, I know. How do you dope and still suck?
Yeah.
He's been dumped by his Russian model girlfriend, Violetta Burt. And look, I've seen she looks pretty hot, so sucks for him. But not only has he been dumped by her, but he's been dumped for another football star.
Man, these girls, they love to trap around with these footballers,
Bro, it's like those chicks in college that just try to find like the superstar and just hang off all the superstars that run through.
From one from another.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
The choices, they're endless.
Yeah, well, she's gone from Mykhailo Mudryk, who's probably one of the whitest dudes you could meet, to Weston McKennie, who is who's a coloured superstar, Juventus superstar. So she's...
you should have seen the panic in his eyes when he was trying to come up with...
I don't want to say that, but yeah. She's now gone to Juventus / United States superstar Weston McKennie. So I don't think she goes back from there, right? Isn't that what they say?
Well, I mean, that's how the term goes. If you're said to believe it.
Yeah.
You know? But I wouldn't know.
Look, I think we'll put up a photo of her and we'll see how that goes.
Everyone can make up their own minds.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone can just figure out what they think. last point. Look, a bit of an interview with your old boy Sadio Mane. Look, great player.
He's a legend. You're gonna slander a legend. Is that what you're gonna do right now?
Look, I'm gonna question his morals.
You're slandering him. This is what you're about to do. Please continue.
I'm gonna question it. So he currently has a wife, right?
Yep. He's a happy man with a happy family.
Yeah, I love that for him. Only thing I question is that he's 32 and she's 18. And they met 2 years ago.
Listen, man, you're obviously white trash.
I'm white trash.
Don't understand culture around the world. And people have different views on different topics, man. Dude. You don't need to slander a good man's name for trying to get married legally in his country, and you're going to go slander him.
Are you trying to get me in trouble with all the Senegalese out there?
Are you trying to get yourself in trouble for slandering people's names? I don't know.
Listen here.
I don't know what your motive is here, man.
Listen here, CNN.
Listen, you're MSNBC. That's who you are.
In the interview, he was asked how many kids he wants, and he said he wants 3 or 4 kids. Look, that's cool.
The earth needs more kids, man.
We need more Manes. I mean, who knows? Maybe one of them might become the next Mane for Liverpool.
It's a pure breed.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yeah. So,
look. Maybe that's the next step for football, to start breeding them.
Well, Ronaldo's got his kid out there. Messi's got his kid out there.
Yeah, but like kind of just in like a... Just make super soldiers of football players, you know?
Oh, like with Hitler's youth. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, right. I mean, You went there and I was thinking more around the Chinese Olympic swimming team.
Ah, that's a good one.
Was thinking more around that one.
Yeah, they bred them well.
That's less murdery and more... Yeah,
they bred them well over there.
That's, super soldiery instead of...
youthing.
Well,
that's all I got. Now, I believe it's time for our weekly segment of Hero of the Week. So,
Hero of the Week.
Who we got, bro?
We got a lineup. This is one of the greats. Antonio Cassano.
I love Antonio Cassano. Not for his football, but for his antics. But I can't wait to hear this.
Oh, look, the Italian stallion, Mr. Cassano, claims that he had slept from anywhere between 600 to 700 women throughout his life.
I could see that happening. Did he go into any further detail?
Well, I've got one little clip that kind of just sums him up. So it's from his autobiography. It's called La Dicho Tutto, which translates as I'll Tell You Everything. And it certainly lives up to its title. So in the book, he describes his pre-match routine and meal.
Oh, yep.
So we know what you're thinking. Whole wheat cereal, a nap, a light lunch. Not really. He says that he says sex and a few post-coital pastries never failed to enhance his performance.
Yep.
So to be fair, the talented forward, now 35 at the time, didn't have a bad career. Turning out for clubs including Roma, Real Madrid, and AC Milan, among some other smaller clubs.
Right, he balled out.
But that was his pre-match. That was his pre-match routine. He would bag a lady and yep. have a few pastries and desserts afterwards.
Yep.
And go ahead and bang in a few goals.
Yeah. Well, so I did follow Antonio Cassano's career for a little bit because he started in 05 and 06, right, for Roma. And then he had a gangster year and went to Real Madrid. You know what I mean? So they must have seen something in him. Problem was, when he got to Real Madrid, he got real fat. And I think that diet that you just threw out there of coitling women and then pastries was pussy the reason pastries. Why.
The PP, yeah. baby.
So what I heard was he used to bring up 1, 2, 3 women, whatever, okay? He would tell the maitre d', give me half an hour and then come up with some pastries and you can take the women away. So he would do that 6 nights a week. One night he'd be playing or whatever, but he would do that at least 6 nights a week.
A legend.
And I mean, like, bro, that's how you get fat. That's literally how you get fat. Is just yeah. like banging and eating desserts yeah. all eating, the time.
Eating and, yeah, just being lazy.
He was, yeah.
Surely not rocking up to training as well, right?
But you're too tired. Yeah. You've been banging and eating pastries all day. I mean, like, look.
he's too full and satisfied yeah. to train.
Exactly.
Sorry. I've got everything the training will provide for me now.
Cassano, that gut is saying otherwise. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
The ladies still love the gut.
Oh, they loved it. There, so, and he was quite the character. Look, he's turned into a bit of a piece of shit now. He likes to rag on Ronaldo a lot. How he's not that good, which doesn't make any sense. But his antics back in the day were excellent.
Well, look, he's our hero of the week. So,
Antonio.
Let's jump into round 20.
Do you want to do the FA Cup, EFL Cup first?
Yes.
We'll just quickly
I'm
run.
I'm trying to take the limelight away from my co-host here.
We'll run through this quickly. Look, we're not going to get into the games yet. We'll get into them next week. But Arsenal played Newcastle today. We'll get into that next week at the Emirates in the first leg of the EFL Cup. Tottenham play you guys tomorrow in the first leg of the EFL Cup.
It would be an exciting game. They've still got no back line though.
Exactly right. I think it could be a high scoring. Or it could be like you guys win to nil, depending on if you guys defend well. But then we'll start Friday. The FA Cup starts. So we'll just look. There's a lot of games. We'll just run through the Premier League teams.
Most of them are pretty inconsequential as well.
Correct. Yeah.
We've got Accrington Stanley.
Yeah, I know. Big team. Watch out.
They celebrated that they drew us.
That was so funny. Yeah. I saw that.
Good for them. I mean,
that's good for them. They get to play at Anfield. They get to play at Anfield.
Yeah, 100%.
That's a cracker.
It's mad.
Look, first game for the Premier League teams is Everton play Peterborough. Sorry.
Well, I mean, the exciting thing there is you got Ashley Cole potentially playing against his son.
Yeah, that's his
son's
right.
His son's at Peterborough.
His son is at Peterborough.
Whether or not he starts for that game.
Well, I'm just having a quick look now to see... What's his name? Young. Mm. I'm just having a quick look now to see if he did start in the last game. Where are they? Let's run through this quickly. Oh, they played Wrexham in the last game.
Interesting.
And they lost. is it Young? Is his name actually Young?
I do not know. I just know that his son is in the team.
That's right. We'll just quickly run through that. Anyway, while you're looking that up, who we've got after that? We've got Fulham plays Watford at home. We've got Aston Villa play West Ham. And this will be West Ham's first game without a proper manager, after which we will get into. Bristol City play Wolves. As you stated before, Liverpool play Accrington. And then we've got Leicester play QPR, Bournemouth play West Brom, Brentford play Plymouth. We play Morecambe, I guess they say it. Norwich has Brighton, Forest has Luton. City play Salford at home, so that's a nice little run for them. Tottenham play Tamworth, not Tamworth here, Tamworth over there.
Yeah, imagine they play Tamworth here. That'll be a slaughter. to confirm on the Young situation, he is young as well.
Look, he wasn't in the squad.
His
last
name's
time.
Tyler Young, and he doesn't look like he's a starter. Nah,
that's disappointing.
So more than likely, he won't appear on the pitch unless they're looking for a media stunt.
Yeah.
I reckon maybe at the end of the game, if it's not going favorably for him, he might come on.
Yeah, put him on the bench and see how the game goes. Hopefully,
because I don't see him starting the game though. So the hype train on that may have just killed that.
Nah, damn it. Yeah. Look, the big game in the FA Cup is Arsenal Man U. And I think after the way that Arsenal played over the weekend, the way Man U played over the weekend, it could be a very interesting game.
Yeah.
Palace play Stockport, Ipswich play Bristol, Newcastle play Bromley, Southampton play Swansea. And the last game is known EPL team Millwall versus Dangham and Redbridge. So that goes from Friday all the way through to Tuesday. And then Wednesday is round 21. But before we get into round 21... Let's hit up round 20.
Jesus, there's just so much going on.
Right. It's literally like 13 days of football. It's out of control.
Yeah. And then we've got first game of this round, cracker game. Tottenham Newcastle.
Bro, what a start.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy game. Because you got Newcastle in such good form, Tottenham in such bad form, but with flashes of brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, with Solanke opening the scoring. To be fair, that cross from Pedro Porro was perfect.
Oh, it was. It was gangster. That was just... He gets the ball with space, whips it in, and I will give it to Solanke. His goal was a nice finish. He was getting pressured by... I think it was Shah. He was getting mad pressure, and he still got a head on it and got it on target and scored.
Yeah, well, I mean, he got in front of Shah, right?
Yes.
Fabian Shah is a senior player within the Premier League. It's not easy to do, right? Just to get in front of him, to be able to win the ball off the header especially.
Yeah.
Then you've got... Then we had Anthony Gordon's goal.
Right. I'm going to put that in with a big question mark next to it because...
Well, I mean...
I got mad problems with this.
I think I tend to agree.
Just pause it.
Oh, we're back. Sorry.
We're talking about the so-called goal.
I don't think it's a goal. I think he gets way too much advantage off the hand in the play. Way too much advantage.
It's all advantage. It goes straight to them and they score 5 seconds later.
Because I've seen clips afterwards where, is it Howard Webb talking about...
the ex-ref?
Talking about the reasons why it's not... And you can just tell him doing like mental gymnastics.
He's trying so hard to justify his reasoning for it for being a goal.
Exactly right. And I'm just there going... They said the only way that they wouldn't give in that situation is if he had a shot directly after it.
That's crap. That is such crap. That means that's jack shit. So I've been thinking about this, right? So let's say that there's a cross in the box, right? Comes off your leg, comes off someone's hand, right? Off your hand. You don't shoot. You lay it off. They lay off to someone else and they score. You're going to allow that to go on. That's a justification. They didn't have a shot. That's crap.
But also his justification is if that was in the box, it wouldn't be a penalty. And I'm like, well, no, hang on a second.
Yeah.
If that was in the box, they're having a shot at the goal.
Yeah.
They're not dinking the ball for a pass to the side.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's the difference, right? If you're having a shot in the thing and your arm's it, you can't move your arm.
Correct.
So you shouldn't be penalized for a penalty.
Mm.
But at the same time, if they're in the box and the attacking player handballs the ball and it falls to another player and they score, that's not a goal.
Yeah, that's right.
So it can't, like, you've allowed that to happen outside. And to, like, if you're a Tottenham fan, I'm pretty pissed off.
Because I love Ange, right? I feel he's being so hard done by in this year with red cards and suspensions and injuries, right? And just this on top of it just makes it so much worse. And he was fucking furious. For good reason too. Every day of the week, I'm not saying like every time the ball touches a hand, it's a penalty or a foul, right? But I understand if it's close by or whatever. But clearly, Joel Linton.
Yeah, it comes off Joel Linton's arm.
From that, they've gotten a massive advantage because Tottenham had the ball, right? They've had the ball. They've now lost it and then they've conceded the goal from it. That's a full advantage off a foul play.
Tottenham would have been on a fast break too.
Exactly.
So they would have broken straight through and he stopped it with his hand.
Yeah.
Right? Like, for me, I was like, if Joel Linton missed that, they're kind of screwed because then Tottenham's going to have the numbers on the counter.
Yeah.
So if you'd given the foul, you still look at it like, well, that's a good tackle by John Linton to stop the counter.
Yes.
Right? It shouldn't have been a situation. That's John Linton's not trying to get the ball to put that through.
Yeah.
Right? He's won it in an unfair condition and actually still completed the job he wanted to do. So giving the foul there, no one's going to look at you and be like, oh, well, that's unfair. He couldn't have done nothing with his hands.
Yeah.
He goes, well, it doesn't matter. So Howard Webb saying, well, he didn't make himself bigger and he just left his hand by his side. It's like, that's fine.
Yeah,
I get that. Fine. And I understand that there's hand to ball and whatever. But if you gain an advantage out of using your arm, then how do you play on?
Yeah.
Because you're like, it's just the gain of advantage. If he had done the handball and bounced off to another player out on the wing,
yeah,
I'd be like,
out.
Play on.
Yeah, you just go, whatever.
You play that on because it goes unintentional. You couldn't do anything about that. But you still can't, you know, cheat. Because it's like, what if your back was turned and your arm's just there and it just bounced off your arm, goes in the goal? It's a goal?
Well,
but then he went specifically said, oh no, but if it went in the goal, it can't be a goal.
So say it comes off his hand. Say the example you just said, right? It comes off his hand. Imagine it lands next to someone. They then square it to someone and shoot and score. You'd be like, well, that first handball is a fucking handball. Like there's nothing that, like that handball has caused the goal to happen, which is exactly what happened in this Joel Linton one, which is totally understand why Ange fucking lost his shit about it. Totally get it. But look, we'll move on from that because I'm just going to keep getting angry and keep talking about it. Ishak had a massive chance in the 32nd minute where he had a shot across goal.
Mm-hmm.
Then 6 minutes later, he did score. Murphy had the ball, goes around, crosses it, comes off Dragusin, but Ishak puts it in the goal.
It was a good finish by him. You can see, I mean, look, he's a striker, right? Like,
yep.
The ball comes across, he gets his foot on it every time.
Yep. Yeah, I can hear something, but
it's all right. We'll push on.
It was 2-1 at halftime. And at this stage, I'm thinking, bro, it's going to be like a 4-3, 4-all game.
And then kind of slowed down on the chances, right?
Bro, second half dried the fuck up, like the Sahara Desert. It was 100%. It was so dry.
Brendan Johnson hit the post.
Yep.
Probably
unlucky.
Yeah, very unlucky. I think you deserve to score there.
Yep.
I mean, I'm happy you didn't for my cups.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to say, what did we say? Fucking, I tipped Newcastle in this one.
Oh, yeah. I also tipped Newcastle in this one.
Look, Spurs had a massive scramble in the 82nd minute too. So it looked like Spurs were typical Ange ball where they're the team pushing, right? They don't stop pushing. Johnson had that chance. They had a big scramble in the 82nd minute, but they just couldn't get the ball in. But look, Newcastle probably deserved it because I think they had the better chances.
Yeah, I think they created better chances and they were definitely... And then they were definitely pushing a lot more in attack. Yeah. I think Tottenham... And it's what Tottenham's kind of lacked all season is that they're good in moments and not good for the whole match.
I think that's because of the injuries and the players that they got.
I tend to agree, right? That it's hard to hold a consistency when you've got so much change within the team.
And it's hard to keep that level when the players that you've brought in are of lesser quality. You know what I mean? Like when you meet, like to be fair as well, he did start Madison and Son on the bench. But like when you're missing like Bentancur and you're missing Vandeven and you're missing
Romero
and you're Vicario, but you're missing your whole Udogie, you know what I mean? Like they're missing so many players at the moment. So I do again still feel sorry for Ange. I hope that Tottenham do stick with him and try to give him some.
Well,
some
they did
help.
Come out. They came out and publicly said that they would.
I hope. I know a lot of clubs say that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't feel it, like they say.
But also,
it.
I don't I hope think they he's stick not in a situation it. Like Man U or anything like that. You can see that there's only a couple of mistakes there that can be fixed quite easily.
Well, one is people coming back. That'd be a big one. And
for
two, giving him some quality, which I think we'll get into the transfers soon after this. But yeah, I hope they do give him what he needs to succeed.
But look, we'll see how they go. Obviously, Newcastle are going to keep kicking ass.
Man, they're doing so well at the moment. I think they've won 6 in a row or something. Bro, they're just on fire.
Well, then we had the Bournemouth-Everton game. Snorefest, my guy.
But look, I had Bournemouth. I think that was...
I went draw in this one. I was trying to be creative.
Because it was Everton at home, right?
No, it was Everton away.
And but, you still went with the draw. You went, yeah, trying to get cute.
I was just trying to, you know, I've got a bit of a lead. Why not? Fuck you.
Look, Bournemouth had a few chances in the first half. Semenyo was offside. That was pretty much the only highlight of the first half.
Yeah, there was one highlight for each team. One was like a Pickford save, and then the other one was fucking Semenyo offside.
Yeah, that was the whole first half.
That was the entire first half.
Oh, well, that sucked.
Yeah.
But let's go to the goal. Brooks's goal. Very nice.
Nice goal. Good cross from Kirkes.
Yeah, so I had Kirkes on my team. I was like, oh, excellent.
Yeah, I enjoyed those points too.
Look, Decore nearly equalised in the 86th minute. Decore gets a couple chances. Always yeah. outside. It's always outside
always
the box.
Outside
though.
The box, and he always sprays them wide.
He always like, does, yeah. Bro, it's always the same.
It's, I get it, dude. Like, because remember, what, was it 2 seasons ago when he first joined and he was banging in heaps of goals for him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? He first joined, everyone's like, oh, man, this could be a game changer for him. And then he's just like.
And then he became an Everton yeah. player.
Yeah. It's I like think he learned everything from
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's now yeah. picked up the Everton vibe. Like,
yeah,
oh,
well,
like,
man, you're performing super well. Can you read this book about how we like to play? Oh, so just be shit. Oh, all right.
Boring as fuck. Okay. So, yeah, after that, look, there was three highlights. I had Semenyo, Brooks, the goal, and Decore.
I mean, that's all I had too.
Yeah.
So then we had the Villa and Leicester game.
You had Villa?
Yeah, I had Villa.
Yeah, I had Villa too.
Yeah. I think it was obvious. Leicester's been in shocking
form. Well, they've lost 5 in a row. It's been bad. Bad to watch as well.
But can I also say there was 2 highlights in the first half.
Yes. Yes, there was. Yeah.
And it was 1 for each team and they both weren't great.
One was the penalty shout.
Yeah.
Yep. Not a penalty.
No. Not at all.
That's how you know that there was fuck all highlights because they showed that shit and they kept showing the replay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, let me show this a couple of times. That'll soak up a minute. Fucking ridiculous. And then you had Ross Barkley with the goddamn screamer, dude.
Hey, bro, Barkley has been such a good buy for them. I think they bought him for $6 million.
Yeah.
Bro, he's banging some important goals.
But look, I mean, look, the only problem with Barkley is his injuries. That's the only problem that you have with Barkley, right? Yeah. Like, everything else, he's pretty solid on the ball. He's a senior player in the Premier League. He's got a lot of experience.
Yep.
He can dribble. He can shoot.
He can shoot.
He can pass, bro. He can do everything. I think this issue with him is that, fitness-wise and health-wise, he's a detriment. He's going to get injured.
Yeah, well, I think the way that Emery plays him is perfect. You're a role player.
Yes, correct.
Right? You don't need to play 90 minutes. I need you to be impactful. And bro, he's been super impactful for Villa.
I think that's the perfect way to play a lot of these younger... Well, he's not younger
not
anymore.
Younger. He's more of a senior player.
But that young English generation that came through. Mm. You know, when you had the Wilshires and you had Theo Walcott and all those guys coming through at that stage where they were all quite injury prone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that's probably the best way to use these guys now. Just you're an impact. You come on, you got 20 minutes. Ox was able to do that for us on quite a few occasions.
Ox at Arsenal was the same as Walcott, always injured, you know what I mean? When he went to you guys...
He's still always injured, but he had moments.
He had a good first year.
Yeah, he did.
He had a good first year with you guys. As soon as that first year finished, bro, he was just always injured. But yeah, 5 minutes later, Mavadidi. Look, Mavadidi had a chance after halftime and missed it. He made up for it in the 63rd minute. So Martinez made a save and then Mavadidi cleaned it up
after. Yeah, it was a good save on Jamie Vardy's shot.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was a great save.
But unfortunately for Martinez.
It was unmarked out the back. What are you going to do as a fast break? But
not much you can do, yeah.
Still. Then Leicester shoot themselves in the fucking foot.
Bro.
I don't know what their fullback was doing, dude.
Justin James. Look,
what's he doing?
He's not a bad player, but fucking makes it. He has some brain farts.
Oh, yeah, you saw that there because he was fucked, right? He was
so fucked. 3 times, though.
Yeah. Because he didn't know how to get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made the error. Just, bro,
clear the cup.
What was the clip we put up last week?
There was a clip we put up of a goalkeeper who was struggling and he just literally kicked it for a corner. Well, not even for a throw-in, for a corner. He's like, fuck it, I got nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
Bro, just kick the cunt out.
Yeah. I cannot stress enough how I don't understand. They get under that pressure and they just don't kick it out.
Yeah.
I feel like it's because they're so pressed into, you got to pass that out.
Yeah, I think it's...
Maintain possession. I get it, my guy.
I get it, bro.
I totally get it, but you're not in a position to. And the repercussions of your actions for not getting rid of it was a goal.
And
you lost the game.
And possibly cost them a point, you know what I mean? Which, let's be real.
We cost them a game, so you did. Because once it went 2-1, you were no longer able to win.
Yeah.
You were no longer able to win. You were only able to draw at best.
Yeah. Bailey scored 75th minute, like we said, because of Justin
James.
He
almost got another one at the end too. Hit the post, didn't he?
Hit the crossbar, but Villa didn't follow it up. So Finished 2-1.
Good game.
Good game, yep.
Well, then we had Southampton, Brentford.
This was. Look, I was wrong on this one.
Dude, I was so super wrong. I was draw.
I had draw too, yeah. Yeah.
Why?
I don't. I thought.
Look, you know when you watch hindsight and you're just like, yep.
Yeah, yeah. Well, why did I do that? Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. That's exactly what should have happened.
Yeah. Well, it's from the start. Literally from start to finish was just Brentford.
Well, yeah. I mean.
Shard's finish was.
Shard opened the scoring. I'm kicking myself because I'm like, why don't I just trade Shard into my team? No. You know what I'll do? I'll put the goalkeeper from Newcastle in.
Who conceded that, after 4 minutes?
Yeah. Fuck.
But I was from that goal. The goal was nice, but the assist was better.
Mm-hmm.
He cut through three players without assist straight to Shard.
Damsgaard,
bro. Very nice assist.
Yeah, it's 100% a great assist. But he's kind of running that midfield for him in that
big time.
Damsgaard. Well, the attacking portion of it.
Side of it, yeah.
And he does quite well. But I mean, I will note, it was 1-0 up until the 62nd minute.
Yeah, look. I think, and that's what I think we were expecting, Southampton to be gritty. I wasn't expecting a goal in the 6th minute. I mean, as much as Brentford score early.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. But I expected Southampton to be gritty. And they were for an hour. They were gritty for an hour.
They held in there, but you could see it just waves up. And then the silly penalty.
Yeah, it was a silly penalty. Well, before that, there was the... Did you see the Vandenberg goal? The Vandenberg goal that was disallowed?
I didn't. I must have missed it.
So, Vandenberg for... the centre back for Brentford.
Yeah.
Right? He scored off a corner.
Uh-huh.
They go back and they check it, right? And one of the players fell for Southampton and they disallowed it.
Sorry, I've seen a clip on this, but I didn't know it was a disallowed goal.
It was disallowed. I looked at it and I'm going, so you're telling me that the Southampton player, the outfield player, gets kind of tugged. He falls over. They give that a foul. But last week when Ramsdale was getting elbowed in the face... You thought that was all good. This is the level of consistency that's really annoying the fuck out of me.
Well, yeah, because there's different rules in every different situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it just and it changes from game to game.
Which is so annoying. You can't keep doing... There has to, look, I'm not saying everything has to be black and white. Like, there are grey areas. But something like that is still... It annoyed the fuck out of me. So especially for Southampton, because they might have gotten a point, which as... We all think they're going to get relegated anyway. Might have been important for them.
I mean, yeah. I mean, look, take all the points you can get. You might not come back next season.
Yeah. Look, I put in my notes, was it a square up? It might have been a square up for them fucking up last week.
Yeah.
But,
there's not much to say. Mbwembo got 2 goals. Wissa got one. Lewis Potter got one at the end.
Yeah, Mbwembo had a gangster game.
Oh, I mean, look, he's killing it this season.
Yeah.
Him and Wissa, the only... So they're the first team... Brentford is the first team with 2 players on 10-plus goal assists.
That's mad.
That's pretty gangster.
That's mad,
halfway through the season to have it distributed to 2 different players.
And it's not like it's a Liverpool or a City or a Chelsea. No, I mean, no, it's no. Brentford. I'm like, that's mad.
I said, to have the team like that scoring that many goals is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good. It's good. It's good watch.
Then we had City and West Ham. The bounce back of City begins.
Yeah.
So City 4-1.
I had City.
I had City in this one as well. And the man I've been talking shit about.
Bro.
For the last how many weeks?
Talking shit about.
Savinho. Would you get a hat trick of assists in this?
Does that count? Yeah, it does. Because he got the assist for the own goal.
He gets the own goal at the beginning. Puts that cross in. Deflects off the defender. Goes in.
Keeper can't do much about that.
No. Then he gets a second assist through to Haaland. Yep. With a headed goal. Good headed finish, but he was completely unmarked.
Yep.
And then you've got Haaland gets the third goal.
He's second, through
a chip off Savinho's ball again.
Yep.
So they've seemed to have a good link up, it looks like.
Well, it's nice to see that Savinho's actually doing something now, because I forgot that he played for City. He kept playing, but I kept forgetting. He didn't do shit.
He was actually doing nothing.
He didn't do shit for half the season.
And now I think, the last 3 games, he's done some shit?
Yeah, last two games, he started to get in form and... He's starting to get in form. They've won 2 games in a row. I mean, that says something.
Well, yeah. And then, I mean, look, you had the scoring closed out for City by Foden with a KDB assist. It's almost like the old school and the new school.
Yeah.
Replacing each other. So you got Foden and KDB. Well, Foden, who's only, 23? 22?
Yeah, something like that. 23, yeah.
But, I mean, did you see how KDB got the ball?
Kudus.
Got in West Ham throw-in.
Yeah, well, it was from Kudus misplaced in the pass, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which was unfortunate because Kudus played really well in this game. He was very dangerous. Yeah.
But as well, West Ham doesn't have the team that if you make an error like that, they can stop it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you've got Wan-Bissaka and Emerson, and you know, I mean, it's like psh, they ain't gonna go nowhere.
Wan-Bissaka ain't—he's not making that tackle. Pace, I can tell you that much. And then West Ham get a consolation goal at 70 minutes for Fulkrug.
Yeah, and then after that, look, Fulkrug probably his first or second goal for the team. Cool. Look, West Ham had a few chances after that as well. I think City were like 4-0 up. Psh, let's just kill this game. And West Ham tried, didn't score. City easily deserved this one.
As you said, we look at what their board is. They clearly don't know much about football. And then on top of that now, their manager, Julen, Lopetegui, has been sacked.
Look, there was rumours. Remember when they played Man U and there was the sack bowl between him and Ten Hag?
Yeah.
Well, it was just a stay of execution because literally like 5 weeks later, he's gone. So
Lopetegui's out.
I do kind of feel sorry for him, losing your two best players in Antonio and Bowen. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a big loss, but bro, you're West Ham. Like, you know, you've got to be better than 15th or 16th or whatever they are at the moment.
Well, I mean, especially with the team they've got. It's not like they have a shit team. It's a decent team.
It's a half... And they're Premier League experience too.
They've got Graham Potter poised to take the job. That looks most likely, but we were laughing before that. Imagine it's Southgate.
Oh, bro, I would die. Look, I think Graham Potter does deserve another gig. Obviously, his Chelsea experiment failed, but I think he does deserve another gig. But I would love to see Southgate in the Premier League just because I want justification of how much he sucks. That's all I want. I just want someone to go, look, here's a team. What can you do with it? He's going to blow his chance. I'm going to go, okay, so you suck this whole time. Yeah. Why are you getting knighted?
Now we know.
Why are you getting knighted? Yeah. I'm still upset about that.
Yeah. This is why you can never run a football league. You're smiting everybody.
Dude,
like,
I'll smite all you fuckers.
Oh, he thinks he's so good, huh? Bring him in the league. We'll fucking see who's good. You're not even competing with him. You're just forcing him into a competition.
Dude, fuck that guy. Yeah.
Then we had the Brighton and Arsenal game.
Very interesting game.
And look, to be fair, and again, this is another hindsight one.
Did you have Arsenal?
I did have Arsenal, yeah.
I had Arsenal too.
One all draw.
Yep.
But here's another game where it's just like you look at it in hindsight and you're like, that kind of made sense. With the way that Brighton are playing, the way that Arsenal are playing, both of them kind of struggling to score a lot of goals.
Yeah.
And both of them defensively are okay.
But they're structured well.
Yeah, they're structured well and they've got a good idea and they've got a good players within there to hold a strong defence.
Mm-hmm.
But I think recently haven't played to the potential that they should play to.
Correct, yeah. I mean, Arsenal are second, but it's been a laboured second. It's laboured. It's not fluent.
Well, they're like from a point situation, how far they are from first versus... start of festive season to now, right? Which we were looking at. They're in a worse position in the race between kind of us and them.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, the back half of the season, they're going to have to do a lot better than they've already done in the first half.
Yeah.
To catch us, but you know, it looks hopeful, which is kind of bittersweet. Another goal for Noreni. Is that how I say it?
Noreni.
I'm sure something in there is silent.
Something like that.
Wineri. Let's go with that one.
Yeah.
Good finish off a counter attack. To be fair, he's a youth player, he's good.
He's the future for them.
He's good.
Honestly, if they had a proper striker...
But again, he plays the exact same position as Saka.
Well, what I was going to say was that if they were able to find a good striker, you put him on the left, Saka on the right. Right, that's
One of them can.
Exactly, yeah. If he can swap to the left, Martinelli can fucking sit on the bench. Bro, that's a good fucking start.
Martinelli needs to get sold, bro.
Problem, big time. Yeah. But problem with Wineri is that he's now injured.
Yeah, immediately injured.
Yeah.
So again,
for a few weeks
what were we saying about English players? They're better impactful because they're going to be injured. I don't know what it is about how they train as a youth, but they get injured. That's it.
Always happens. I just think they played too many games. But I will give Brighton, I did like their play. They were solid at the back, but they pressured up front. They put a lot of pressure.
And Arsenal almost cracked in one occasion where they were trying to play out of the back.
Yep.
Brighton pressed them, got the ball, got them to kind of fuck up on the ball, and they almost got a goal out of it.
Yep.
But that's what teams, I think, have to do now. I think that's what the Premier League's become. It's a high-press league.
It is, yeah. But Arsenal have been caught out a couple of times getting pressed from the front. So I think that if you want to get the Arsenal, you press the back.
Well, I don't think that they have kind of fullbacks that are 100% capable with the ball at their feet.
No, you're right. The fullbacks that they got, look, they got Timber and they got Calafiori and what's his name? Ben White, right? They're good defenders, but like as like left and right backs, I don't know. Like, I'm pretty sure Calafiori is a center back. Ben White, I think, is a center back. Timber, if he's a right back, he's a right back. Cool, but they're not your typical left and right backs. I think that's a weak point for Arsenal.
I don't think they kind of work well in that back line as well. I think Yurian Timber and Calafiori have had some good moments.
Yeah.
Right? Like, especially in attack, some goals.
I like Calafiori as well. He's a good defender.
I think so too, but I just think for how they want to play out of the back, it either needs a new system through the midfield, so the midfield takes more of that ball.
Yep.
Or they're going to sit deeper for it, I think, because it just doesn't work 100% of the time, especially if the fullbacks are too high up the pitch, which you can see that they're not 100% comfortable with.
Not like a
kind of a Trent or Robbo or whatever.
Oh, they're comfortable as fuck.
So used to getting the ball in that
you
can
tell
half.
That they've played those positions for years. Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah, Calafiori and Ben White especially, you're right, they don't look comfortable in those left and right back positions.
100%.
But yeah, and then look, the big controversy, the penalty in the 60th minute. Pedro and Saliba got for the ball.
I think Saliba won the ball, man.
Dude, Saliba, no, you don't think he did. He did win the ball.
Yeah, it's a head clash, dude. I didn't...
And this is the crazy part, is there's an angle of VAR where you see the ball divert before Saliba hits Pedro. So he's gotten the ball.
But also, did you see that the VAR check took all of seconds or something?
It's quick as fuck. And you're going, bro, if you're going to check something that important, I'm not saying all VAR decisions aren't important. They all are at some point. But, bro, this was very important for Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're really costing them points in a title race, right? Like, that's what they believe they're in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's delusional.
Yeah, I mean, they're second. They've got to believe it, right? They've got to believe in something.
Fuck it. But look, yeah, I don't know what would kind of give someone the impression, because it doesn't even really jump. He just puts his head up to the ball. And I'm like, because you can't say João Pedro has possession of the ball, right?
Correct.
You can't say he has possession of the ball because he's flicked it up in the air.
Yes.
Meaning it's now a 50-50 ball.
Yep.
Right? Saliba is trying his hardest to make that 50-50 a 60-40. So he's going to go 100% to the ball.
And you'll put pressure on him. You're not going to let him just...
I just don't understand. And then, like, João Pedro goes down, so it's a fucking penalty. It's wrong. I've seen Liverpool get screwed off by these dumb VAR decisions before. Mm. And look, as funny as it is to listen to the Arsenal fans whinge about it, I don't want to see it in the game, because then it's just... People put asterisks on results, and then all of a sudden you're arguing about, if I had those 2 points, then this would have happened, and the rest helped you, and da da da. I'd rather just a fair season that we win in.
Look, I just want the correct decisions made.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? I don't want to see, obviously, I want to see Chelsea win, so I want to see everyone else lose. But if we're talking about, if we're being partial here, that wasn't a penalty.
No, it wasn't at all.
Yeah.
It was 100% the wrong call.
And then Pedro bangs it in. Look, Minter nearly set up a second one after that.
Yeah, I think Brighton had the better chances to win the game.
Brighton had the wind at their backs and they were pushing.
Yeah,
probably deserved to win because of what they were doing after. But look, I think a draw because of what happened with the penalty and then Brighton pushing after, I think a draw is probably fair.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Yeah.
Then we had the Fulham-Ipswich game. I had Fulham in this one. And mate, Ipswich is starting to pick up. They're starting to play good.
Did they sack? No, they didn't sack their manager, did they? No, same manager. Okay.
Same manager.
I actually had a draw in this game, so
good
got
pick.
That one.
Great pick.
Look, the first point that I have is that there should have been a red card.
That was a red card, right? That tackle on Wilson was crazy.
Robertson did the exact same thing. Now, I know that there was a player kind of there, but I'm pretty sure that's where Van Dijk was when Robbo got sent off.
Correct.
So, how is that one a yellow? But, again, just the fucking...
The inconsistencies are
killing
us.
It's just out of control, bro. It's so inconsistent. But, yeah, I had that down as a red card.
I 100% agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
Because he's clear through. He's on goal. He's actually, to be fair, he's probably more on goal than the Robbo one.
He was more on goal. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
He's running straight down the middle.
Yeah.
He's straight down the middle and he's beating the two men.
Right. Just I think this week, I think we can call this the title of the thing this week is VAR inconsistency.
Yeah, I do my fucking head in. VAR, who even wants it?
And then Zmodic, I think, the guy that scored.
I mean, it was a good guy. I mean, a good guy in the sense it was a good finish. Fulham could not clear the ball, mate.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Fucking
bro.
Me. The ball kept coming in, and that the last clearance before he shoots for the goal, the guy just like swings a foot at it. It's like he passes it to him.
He does.
And I'm like, okay, dude.
Panicked.
Yeah, he panicked. I'm like, dude, you need to get that out. That's just like your core job.
Well, this was the only real goal of the game in a 2-2 game, by the way.
Well, all the rest were just penalties, right?
Yeah, the next three were penalties. Yeah. So, look, Wilson got tapped on the ankle.
That was a penalty, though.
Definitely a penalty. No, they were definitely penalties. Yeah, so Raul banged in that one. Then fucking 2 minutes later, the lap draws a foul and scored the pen. So, 2-1 up to Ipswich. 91st minute. Raul gets fouled in the box. He gets a second pen and bangs it.
Yeah.
So I had this down as the game of pens.
Yeah. Great game. Great game, fellas. And then the last game before we jump into the Chelsea-Livo games, we had Wolves and Forest. And this one hurts me greatly. I just needed both teams to score to win my damn multi on this one. And then I missed out on the first half, went back and watched it. Wolves had so many chances.
Bro, Seb Larsson. And you know what?
Strand Larsson, sorry. Yeah.
There was no Cunha in this game, obviously because of his suspension, which we spoke about. So it was all up onto Larsson's shoulders.
I was thinking, oh, no Cunha. They mustn't have had that many chances to score. Man, they had chances in the six-yard box, and the keeper saved them in this game.
Bro, what about the one where Larsson has a shot and it's blocked on the line?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Gibbs White scores in the 7th minute off that counter-attack, which Forrest set up for counter-attack so well.
You can't get, as soon as, if they get space in behind, one, they're clinical, right? Chris Wood's so clinical on the ball.
Yep.
Then you got Elanga who can break, Hudson and Doyle who can break.
And Gibbs White.
And then Gibbs White who sits behind him. That front four is crazy.
Yeah, bro, it's really good. The way they've been playing has been hectic. But yeah, after that counter-attack, 7 minutes later, Larsson had a shot blocked on the line. No keeper. Mm-hmm. So he kicks it straight at a defender. And you're like, bro, this is the difference.
Score the fucking goal, man.
This is the difference between James having noodles and a surf and turf. You know what I mean?
God damn, I love surf and turf.
And then, a minute later, Sells pulls off a cracker save from, I think Rodriguez, his name is.
Mm-hmm.
Cracker save. And then he saves another one in the 29th minute. So, look, the score was 3-0. But it was not clinical like we all think.
No. It looks like it was a dismantling.
Correct.
And it really wasn't. They just took their chances.
Yep. Wood score in the 44th minute. And how did this goal come about? Sells, bombs it long to Hudson-Odoi. He rips, I think it was Ait Nouri. Fucking Wood scores.
Wood scores.
There is nothing wrong with a long ball.
No.
Nothing wrong with it.
There isn't. There's no reason to fuck about with it at the back.
I think Justin James needs to watch that fucking clip.
Yeah. Hey, Justin, watch this.
And then look, in the middle, look, after that second goal, it was pretty lackluster. There's not much really happened. But Espirito Santo, our Forest manager, made two subs, Ward-Prowse and Awoniyi.
Yeah, I don't know who this guy is, but he got himself a goal.
He's been there for a while, actually. The team was hyped when he scored. That was cool to see.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Scores in injury time, they win 3-0. So I had Forrest in that one as well, by the way.
I also had Forrest in that one. I managed to only get 4 out of 10 this week.
Yeah, because I didn't get the Chelsea or Livo game, so I got 6.
Yeah, okay. Caught me up by 2. I think I'm 6 in the lead at the moment. Well, then do you want to jump into the Chelsea game?
Bro, this game was so frustrating. So frustrating. We had 15... I'm just going to start with this. We had 15 shots. One was on target, which was Cole Palmer's goal. We just forgot our shooting boots at home. Look, we had all the ball, all the possession, all the field position in the first half. We dominated. Sancho, dummies on the right... on the left, sets up Cole Palmer. And he scores like he does after 14 minutes. And I thought, man, we're going to fucking... We should run away with this. But
well, fucking, to be fair, I thought that was going to happen.
Yeah. And then Jackson had a mad chance in the 38th minute.
Use your other foot.
Bro, why are you using the outside of your boot? Who do you think you are?
Luka Modric, bro.
Exactly. There was a video, actually speaking of that, there was a video I saw where someone was talking about like cunts using the outside of their boot, and the coach goes, one player in the world can use the outside of the boot. That's Luka Modric. Are you Luka Modric? No, yeah, you're not.
Exactly right. You're so not you Luka can't Modric, do it. Bro. Till you become Luka Modric and win a Ballon d'Or, then can you do it?
Yeah.
Because he does it right every time.
When you win six Champions Leagues, five La Ligas, a Ballon d'Or, take your country to the fucking World Cup final, then you can start doing it. Until then, use your left fucking foot.
100%.
Oh, bro, so frustrating. And then look, after the second half, into the second half, who did we play? Palace. Palace pushed us. Palace really pushed us in the second half. Sanchez had to make a couple saves. Jackson, again, missed another big chance in the 70th minute. He just forgot his shooting boots at home. It was really, really frustrating. But then the part that got us was 82nd minute. Palmer gets the ball under pressure. He loses it. And Palace counterattack. And they score. Look, I would love to say that Chelsea deserved the game. But they didn't. When you don't take your chances, you don't deserve to win. So, I think that Palace did well to stay in. Henderson made a couple good saves. Sanchez made a couple good saves. That evens it out.
Palmer's losing the ball at halfway really fucked you guys on that goal.
Yeah, it did. It definitely did.
I don't know what he was doing there.
Look, I get why Palmer tries, because I mean, like, the guy can fucking rip anybody, right? So he gets the ball and he tries. I think he must have more time, but then two guys just came in and just swarmed him and he lost the ball. But now Chelsea is on a 4-game winless streak. We still haven't won a game. We've now dropped 4 points behind Arsenal, who are second. So this festive period started off really well and it's ended really, really bad.
Well, consistency is the key.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what you kind of need. I think that's where obviously Liverpool's done well, is that our slump period has been consistent, where it's like, all right, we've dropped points, but we've gained points in the games.
Correct. Yep.
So we've gotten draws rather than losses.
Yep.
And we've gotten some draws in games where it's not a bad draw, right?
Yeah, it's a good draw, right?
I mean, look, I'll get into the Man U game now, right?
Yep. Yeah. Please get off Chelsea. Let's go.
Two-all draw in the game.
But can I just say, from a neutral perspective, fuck, what a game.
Look,
really good game to watch.
Good game of football. Very open, expansive play. To be fair,
super open game.
To be fair, we probably should have taken the lead a lot earlier and probably put the game to bed earlier. In the first 20 minutes, you had chances from Diaz and Gakpo that we've both missed or been saved.
And McAllister.
Yeah, I was about to say. Onana makes a save on Alexis McAllister in the 15th minute as well.
He's been really unlucky this year.
Alexis. He's got in a couple,
but he could have like five or six.
It's the effort he puts in to get in those positions. Because he obviously runs from such a deep position.
Mm.
And he gets the ball over the top. And to be fair, like, if you were to tell any player in that position, they're like, what do I do to score here? You'd be like, just get your boot on it and hit it.
Yep.
That's what he does. Unfortunately, it doesn't go through.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was frustrating to watch.
Yep.
Then Ahmad actually had a bit of a chance to score, and he went to header it. The ball was a little bit behind him, went the opposite direction.
Yeah. I saw that. I don't know if whether that was because it was like, let's be real, the weather that you guys played in was fucking terrible.
It was torrential. Well, it was snow. They had to scrape snow off the pitch before the game.
So I don't know if whether that was the wind that took it, or whether it was Dallow's swing on the ball, or whether it was Ahmad just mistiming it. But it looked funny to watch.
But to be fair, I pick up off that. I'm like, Robbo was not tight on him at all.
No.
Robbo is letting him. He's a small guy. He shouldn't be a threat in the box from across.
And he had so much space when he got the ball, yeah.
He did. And Robbo was not goal side at all. So there's some concerns around, obviously, our fullbacks in this game, right? Mm-hmm. Trent did not win a single duel.
Do you reckon that's because his head's already in Madrid?
I'd like to think that, right? I would obviously assume that that's the case, but I would like to think that... It's a festive season. He's played a lot of games. And
this is maybe
just a bad game, an off game. Because as you saw, Martinez gets the first goal. Beautiful finish. But you can see Trent ball watching him. He takes a very easy cut inside.
Fernandez.
Fernandez cuts inside. Goes inside. Trent starts to follow him and just stops.
That's true, yeah.
And stops all the pressure on him. Now, there are enough players here to block the ball, and someone should get probably get tight on Martinez.
That's what I thought too.
But you're not going to if Trent's not going to go with his man. Because if he doesn't go, whoever's the next man across who would be on Martinez needs to technically try to push onto him. So he needs to tuck into that other player's position.
Well, it was Salah, Gravenberg, and McAllister, right? I put them all down. So there was those three plus Trent. Now, if Trent stops following his guy because you got Liverpool players there, the one thing I saw, there was no communication.
Yeah, well, that's what's lacking. So you want Trent to follow his man and communicate there to say, but also if he follows his man, he doesn't have that little dink ball over the top.
Yep.
Because he's got a man on him. And if he goes for a dink ball, just block it.
Yeah.
So... He just took all the pressure out of the situation, then ball watched.
Yep.
Ball goes over.
It was lazy by Trent.
I was 100%. Very lazy. All right, the communication, all that kind of stuff, that's an easy fix. The ball watching thing is not.
Yeah, that's right.
What are you doing? You know you shouldn't be doing that.
Well, that's an effort thing, and I just wonder whether... look, you might have a point that it was festive season. Might have just been like a bit tired.
That's what I hope it was. And
but
it's
obviously,
not.
With all the rumours that he's going to Madrid... That's going to be everybody's first point is going to be like, he's already in Madrid. His head's in Madrid right now.
Yeah, and I hope that's not the case.
Yeah.
But then, look, we had a good response. Gakpo got the ball. Was it 6 minutes, 6, 8 minutes later?
6 minutes later, yeah.
Gakpo gets the ball inside, cuts inside. Dalit goes flying down.
Dalit went for a hot dog.
Yeah.
he flew.
Sliding through, cuts inside, and just blasted into the top of the net.
And I want to give props to Gakpo. Bro, he's been on fire lately.
10 goals in 15 games, man.
That's gangster.
Yeah.
That's gangster.
10 goals in 15 games is pretty amazing.
And the complete opposite of gangster was De Ligt.
He had a shocking game.
Like, you think Trent had a bad game? De Ligt had a shocking game.
Mate, that handball.
Bro, what are you doing? What are you doing, bro? Why is your elbow above your head?
Yeah.
What are you doing, bro?
Boy, he just throws himself in the air. Like, he just throws himself in front of the ball.
Someone had a shot, right? And I get, like, when you turn your body, right? Like maybe if your hand's a little bit up, you turn your body. But his elbow is above.
It's in the air.
And you're going, bro, that is not how you block a shot.
And then they try to complain about it. I'm like, what are you complaining, dude?
I think De Ligt tried. So, initially, because I think it went to VAR, right? So, at the start, De Ligt was like, nah. And then they did. He's just gone, fuck.
Yeah,
like,
damn it. I got caught.
Yeah. And then obviously Salah lines up, scores. Onana nearly got it.
He got his hands on it, but it was a hard penalty.
Well, that's Salah. That's how he takes it, right? Like, if he's on target, he's pretty much scoring.
Yeah. And then fucking Ahmad gets the equaliser.
Yep.
And again, it just goes down Trent's side. He's nowhere to be seen. He's too far up the pitch, and he's not able to get back, right? It's not his fault, but we're just short staffed because he's so high up the pitch and he's just casually walking lackadaisical back.
So Trent or Robbo?
Trent, Trent.
Yeah.
And then, then he was subbed. He was subbed after that incident for Conor Bradley.
Yep.
Who won every one of his duels.
Crazy, bro.
Not only that, had a shot on target.
I don't know if he meant that, but yeah, he did.
No, he did, yeah. Because you can see Onana comes off his line to stand there and he tries to curl in. If he'd gone low, I think he gets that goal.
That goes in. There's no way Onana's getting down.
No way.
But I just want to go back to the Ahmad goal.
I was trying to skip right over it.
Yeah, thanks. I know you were. I know what you're trying to do. You sneaky little fuck.
Yeah, what a piece of shit.
Ahmad should not have actually scored that. Robbo should have gotten a lot. Again, like you were saying before. Robbo should have been tight.
He's half a step too slow.
Yeah, he is. That's perfect. He's half a step too slow. Yeah.
He's not terrible. Like, he's not out of position. He's not, misplacing passes. He's not fitting the system. He's just half a step too slow on some of the younger players.
No, that's a perfect word for it.
And it's just, and it's not like you're like, oh, if you went back a season and a half ago, he's got that ball. He's made that tackle. That player's on the floor complaining to the ref, like, he pushed me. It's like, no one touched you, dude.
And sorry, I just want to make one point on Ahmad. He's the third Man U player, in the Premier League era to score away to City and Liverpool.
Well, I mean, look, since we're on Man U, I want to talk about it. The rumours going out about Man U at the moment are crazy. So apparently Ahmad could potentially be sold.
Bro.
Garnacho. I'll
snap him up in a second.
Garnacho. Well, dude, Ahmad's contract ends at the end of the season.
Do they have... You know how, man, you have that stupid little 1-year trigger? You know, they do that 1 year trigger.
But maybe, because not a lot of people are talking about if he goes for free or not. But I haven't heard them activating it. And I'd imagine
and if
they'd
activate it. It's fucking insane.
Because at the same time, Kobbie Mainoo and Garnacho are also on the chopping block because they get the most value out of them because they're juniors and they need the money.
That's crazy, bro.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Like, me and you is in proper trouble.
Huge trouble.
Because they like they
that's
need
their
to...
core, that's their young core right there.
Well, dude, that's their future. They're gonna sell their future
for what?
To hope to keep this, the rubbish players that they've got. When because then you see at the end of the fucking game, Xerxes, who's the new guy they've brought in that they're trying to get rid of already, he gets in a good position off kind of just a random Ugarte kick.
There was a corner. You guys, they bombed it. You guys pressured the fuck out of Ugarte. And he just goes, fuck this.
He just bombed it.
He just hooks it. Yeah. And it cut four Liverpool players.
Out of control.
Straight to a man. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck? And then he lays it off to Xerxes. Acres of space.
And look, a player with confidence, right? Who's a striker. He shoots that. All right, maybe you know, 9 out of 10 times he scores, he misses that one time.
Mm.
He has no confidence. He wouldn't even take the shot. He just squares it. Shit pass, to be fair. But again, he had so much time. He looked up. He saw that that player in the middle was Harry Maguire.
Mm.
I'm sorry, at a professional level, you should look, go, that's my centre back. I have a better shot.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot.
Yeah.
And he squares it and Harry Maguire blasts it into row Z.
Yeah, yeah.
As he does. Look. That is what Harry Maguire does and he will continue to do it. He's, he's trash and I hope he never leaves.
Look, I think me and you had this argument that, look, I think it was a smart pass, but to the wrong player, right? But that's the point that you make is that you say, well, if it's the wrong player, then it's the wrong pass.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, it's not as if he had no other option.
Correct.
He had options there. So now you're weighing up what your options are. And at the level and at the money he's looking to get paid for the teams he wants to play for, you have to be able to make that decision. Mm-hmm. You know who can make that decision? Morata.
Mm.
Right, as much shit as everyone gives Morata for not being as good as he is, there's a reason he plays at all the big clubs. Because when he has an option to choose, shoot, pass, or try and get a foul, he tends to make the right decision 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need to be the most athletic if he can make those decisions. And I just don't think Xerxes is able to make those decisions.
Mm.
Well, not yet anyway. Maybe.
Not yet. I mean, the kid is 18. Look, and there is rumours he's going to go back to Italy.
I think he'd be better there. It's a little bit slower.
It is slow, much slower, yeah.
Probably better to get in those positions. You have a lot more time to make those decisions.
Yeah. So before we go on, just want to go back to the Ahmad one. He's the third Man U player to score away to City and Liverpool after Rooney and Robin van Persie. So he's in some good company there.
Well, let's hope he leaves.
Oh, look, I hope if he came to Chelsea, I'd fucking love that. He's mad.
He'll get lost in the training centre and they'll forget what squad he's in. What are you in, squad B, C or D?
Squad Z.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of chances as well before that square up as well. Fucking Bruno, Ahmad, Jota, Bradley, and Van Dijk all had chances.
Well, the three.
It was a crazy back and forth game.
Yeah, bro.
So I was a sleeper. I wasn't gonna get up for this game. I woke up randomly at like 5:15 in the morning. I saw it was 2-2 with like 5 minutes to go in regular time. And I'm like, oh wow, I was expecting like 4-0 Liverpool, and I go, all right. I'm going to go back to sleep. I literally closed my eyes for 30 seconds. I go, no way. I've got to watch this game.
Yeah, I need to know what's going
down. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'll watch the last 15 minutes and fuck, you guys are just back and forth. So it'll be interesting to see if that's going to... I mean, it's good for... I think a draw is good for you guys because it shows that you still have a lot to improve on. You still got things that you can improve on. And it was a good showing for Man U because now it's like, okay, can you guys do this every week now?
100%.
Yep.
Now, look, before we jump into the next round, why don't we just go through some of the transfers so far by the teams?
Yeah, yeah.
So, look, we've got Arsenal. All that they've managed to do is that they've transferred out one of their juniors, Josh Robinson, to Wigan.
Yep.
Aston Villa has recalled their loan with Louis Barry from Stockport, and they've loaned out Lewis Dobin from Norwich, mostly junior players. Then we've had Bournemouth with a little bit of movement. So they've got three players that they've brought in. They've brought in Matai Akinboni from DC United. They've brought Kai Crampton from Chelsea. Must be one of your juniors.
One of the
52,000 you have.
Many.
And then
juniors.
They've brought in Julio Soler from Lannes.
Cool.
Then Brentford. So they've loaned out Ashley Hay to Cheltenham Town. And then they've recalled their loan of Ellery Balacombe from St. Mirren. Brighton Hove Albion has brought in a player from Inter Miami, Diego Gomez, who is tipped to be actually a quite decent player. Right. So interested to see how he goes and see if he can make an instant kind of impact to Brighton and their goal scorer. I believe he's a goal scorer. Chelsea, you guys have recalled two players' loans, Gabriel Slonina from Barnsley and Aaron Anselmino from Boca.
Yeah. I think he's injured, so he's going to recover at Cobham.
Then we've got Crystal Palace. Malcolm Ibiowi was a recalled loan from Oxford United. And Chris Francis was loaned out to Dagenham and Redbridge. Everton has had zero movement in the transfer market.
Excellent.
Sounds great for them. Fulham has also had no movement. I don't think that they need to
not
be
at
fair.
At the moment, no.
Then if we look at Ipswich. Ipswich has had a little bit of movement. They've brought in Ben Godfrey from Atalanta.
I remember Ben Godfrey, yep.
Did he play at Everton?
I will bring that up.
I believe he played at Everton. Then we had, they've loaned out two players, Harry Barbrook and Henry Gray. Both been loaned out, one to Braintree, one to Chelmsford.
To answer your question, yes, he played there for 4 years.
I thought so, yeah. Then we've got Leicester City, zero movement in the transfer market. I think that's not a good sign. It's not a great sign for them.
No.
Liverpool, we've had a little bit of movement out. Reece Williams has gone to Morecambe.
Are they playing Chelsea? Yeah,
playing Chelsea. Let's hope he scores against you guys, beat you guys. then Marcelo Pitaluga has been transferred out. Now, City, always active in the in the transfer market. So they've brought in Claudio Echeverri from River Plate as a transfer in. What's he? He's some 18-year-old prodigy.
He's an 18-year-old freak. Apparently, he's a centre back who's going to be like their next up and coming defender. So interesting to see how they go under the Pep system.
Well, yeah. We've got Manchester United with zero movement in the transfer market.
Don't worry, that'll be changing very soon, I believe.
I think there'll be a lot of outs. I don't think there'll be a lot of ins.
Nope.
Then we've got Newcastle United. They've had no movement. Same as Nottingham.
Yep. To be fair, Nottingham and Newcastle probably don't need any movements the way they're going.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't want to disturb either of the forms, right?
No.
As long as they stay healthy, I think it's going to be hard to beat them in the back half of the year.
Fuck yeah.
Then for Southampton, we've got Ronnie Edwards has been loaned out to Queen Park Rangers. Now, Wellington has been brought in from Sao Paulo.
Hmm.
Now, I think he's going to be an interesting player to watch. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to make much of a difference to Southampton getting relegated or not.
Yeah, I think that's a given.
But yeah, then we've got Tottenham Hotspurs getting in a couple of players. So they've brought in what it looks like a Korean player, Yang Min-hyuk. Gangwon FC. And then they've brought in a new keeper, which I think is going to really help them. Anton Kinski from Slavia Prague. Only other two teams are West Ham and Wolverhampton, both with no transfers.
I think Wolves are going to do better than West Ham, but they probably need some movement.
But then, look, I thought maybe we can just go through some of the rumors. If you've got any, we'll talk through them. But I thought, you know, as per transfermarket.com, they've got quite a few rumors up. So maybe we could just go through a few and see how...
go through the big ones?
See what you think. So... Yeah. Well, apparently they've got Arsenal are looking at Brentford's Mikkel Damsgaard.
Yeah, that won't happen.
I don't know how likely it is, but they're saying the assessment's up 48% from yesterday.
Yeah, I won't believe that one. I don't see Brentford selling big parts of their team because they're going so well.
I don't think it would happen, especially since as we said before, Damsgaard runs in midfield, especially
exactly
in the attack.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't think it'll happen either. But I think that there's gonna. I think that Arsenal kind of needs to go out and find a striker in January if they think that they're still competing.
Bro.
But
badly.
I just don't... There's no one there for them to get. That's
well,
the problem.
Well, the big rumour for that one is Victor Osimhen. Problem is, he wants 300k a week. They don't pay 300k a week.
No.
Now, whether that means that Napoli have to pay some of the wages, because I think he's on loan at Galatasaray. Now, whether they do the same deal for Galatasaray, but... I don't know. Look, that's the only striker that I know. I know that Gyökeres and Delap have been named, but I don't see them leaving their teams in the summer.
Gyökeres already came out and said that he's staying until the end of the season.
Yeah, so like they're going to have to, unless they want someone half price where they can find someone on the cheap, that isn't really going to improve their squad. I don't see them finding a gun striker to solve their problems this year.
I tend to agree.
Yeah.
I think another big one is obviously what happens with Marcus Rashford.
Bro, this is a saga.
Well, PSG seems to be the most likely
Which I find situation. Crazy because me and you should have sold him to PSG 2 years ago when they offered $60 million for him.
Of course they should.
I would have said, take him for $60 million. Look, obviously, I would have fought for a little bit more, but I would have said, look, get him off our hands, right? You lose the wage. You get money for him because he's a junior. It's all profit. And what did they do instead? They re-signed him to a new 5-year deal and improved his wage.
Okay.
Bro,
yeah.
It was the craziest
reduced piece. His output, improved his wage.
Oh, bro,
crazy.
It was the craziest bit of fucking business I ever heard. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm glad for us, but fuck, it was so dumb on their part.
Well, then we've also got the Nkunku rumors. Well,
sorry. Back to Rashford. He has also been named for other clubs. There's been
correct. Yeah. Borussia Dortmund's another one.
Dortmund's
and Galatasaray is another one as well.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one.
Well, Galatasaray's to replace Osimhen.
Yes, okay.
When he leaves, because he's going to leave at the end of the season.
And then there's also AC Milan as well. I'm assuming Inter might be in with him. I've heard Inter as well, but I think AC is the more likely of the two.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd see him being like a Lukaku there, right? Like not in the same type of player, but the same type of output, right?
Well, he's going to be improve. Lazy up front.
Well, yeah, because that's what I mean. His speed over there, he's going to be fast.
He'll kill it.
He's fast again, kill it over right? There, like when he was a kid. But it's just, look, I think he's definitely going somewhere in January.
Has to.
And I think it's 100%.
And I think, man, you'll be paying about 70% of the wage.
Maybe 75.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a big way. If he goes to Italy especially.
They ain't
paying him 100 grand a week.
AC Milan said, we'll take Rashford, but we're not paying anywhere near his wage. They expect Man U to pay a portion of his
wage.
What a good
kick
portion.
In the teeth, but hey.
Ah, bro, you got to do it sometimes. We're doing with Sterling at the moment. But
while we're on Man U, Anthony to Olympiacos.
Oh, dude, I love that one.
Oh, fuck.
I hope he goes to Olympiacos. Oh, as you said before, oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Oh, man. Because, man, like you've come in there going, I'm the man.
$85 million signing.
Yeah.
I got my coach here. I'm going to rip it up. And now you're going to Greece. Probably one of the most poorest countries at the moment.
Yeah.
The most brokest countries at the moment.
And also going to... I mean, look, he still gets Champions League football for the most part.
I love that
If they get through.
If it actually happens. Yeah.
And then the only other one that's kind of popping up, and it's more of a Liverpool one.
Oh, the Nkunku one as well, sorry.
Yeah, correct. I'll pass over to your ones in a sec. But it's I was just saying Ben Doak from Liverpool's one that's getting eyed by Crystal Palace, which is a pretty kind of real one. He's currently playing in Middlesbrough in the AFL, having a good season. But yeah, they offered $20 million for him.
Wow, that'd be a nice little prof.
So yeah, it's not bad for it. I don't think he's a junior because we bought him in. I think we bought him for $5 or $6 million.
Yeah, it's cool. Still get a nice prof for a player that's never really played for you guys.
But who have you got?
I ain't got no one.
Oh, you ain't got no one?
No. I interrupted your Nkunku one. Oh, sorry. I do have a couple. Sorry, there are a couple. I did hear about the Nkunku one. That's more of a... I think that one's more of a fan one. I did
with
hear
the to PSG.
Yeah, look, I did because I know that Mwani.
It's supposed to be a swap deal, right?
Yeah, so Mwani is currently being he's not doing a lot. He's not getting a lot of time. So he got bought by PSG, I think, a year or two ago from I think it was Stuttgart, somewhere in Germany, for like $60 million, and he hasn't really fit in. So now, Arsenal are after him. Apparently, Chelsea's in for him. I think, and Tottenham are in for him, right? And then I think the rumor is that to cover for him, they want Nkunku. Now, a lot of the Chelsea fans are for that because he's not really fitting in the Maresca system. He's doing well in the Conference League, but when he gets chances in the Premier League, he's not really taking them. So there is that rumor. I have heard that De Sassi, everybody wants to get rid of De Sassi. He wants to go.
Yeah, he's a big problem with your backline.
So the rumor is that we get rid of him and then we bring back Chalobah, who's on loan to Palace, or we get Mark.
He's having a good season.
I've always liked Chalobah. He's Chelsea through and through. And even when he got so disrespected in the transfer window, and he still says, I want to come back. I'm like, bro, the guy is Chelsea through and through. You've got to give the guy a shot. I think give him a shot. And see what happens.
Well, I mean, you give him 42 other people a shot. So
exactly right.
Why
you know
not?
I mean? I would love to have him back. And then if we get rid of the Sassy, bring a Chalobah, that's an upgrade. The other one was if we don't get Chalobah, we're going to try and get Mark Guy. Look, we offered apparently 50 mil, somewhere in the ballpark of 50 mil, and Palace laughed it off. So I don't see that one happening. I know that Drewsby Hall has been touted by West Ham, but I think they only offered 30. And I think we bought him for 33. So I don't see that happening unless we make profit on him.
No, look, 100%. Yeah. I know that also Tottenham apparently are looking at Mwani as well.
Yes, yeah. So it was Tottenham, Arsenal, Chelsea. We're the three. I think Tottenham would benefit because Ange actually came out and said that he needs Solanke needs help because Richarlison isn't there. Son has been in and out of the team, and Solanke's playing all the games at the moment. So we need some help up front, not specifically in the striker role, but Mwani can play striker and wing.
So, well, you want someone to be able to take the pressure off that striker.
Yeah, that's what Ange said.
If there's a second option there of someone scoring, you have to be wary of that other option.
Correct,
which I mean, that's why Salah has so much space. That's why I'm going off bit off topic here, right? But when you look at Salah's play, he's essentially a striker that plays out from the right.
Yeah.
It's almost how Thierry Henry did it out from the left. Because the defenders don't like it as much out there. You generally have to go up against a fullback who's not as strong in defending. Mm. Those type of things. But realistically, he's just a striker. So if you have a player like that, that striker position in the middle becomes a lot less stressful in the sense that you don't have two players boxing you in constantly because that other centre-back has to watch out for who's coming in off the wing.
Yeah.
So, look, it makes sense. Yep. And I think Tottenham definitely need it.
Tottenham, I feel really sorry for Ange, but yeah, I think they need to make some buys. I think Daniel Levy needs to back Ange a little bit better.
Well, we'll see. He's got his goalkeeper. He's got one other player. We'll see how he goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's jump in around 21, go through our tips here. So, first game of the round, good game too. Chelsea and Bournemouth. I've gone Chelsea for the win.
It's Brentford City.
Well, then I've got it in the wrong order.
Oh, we got no. They're all on the same day, aren't they? Sorry. I take that back. My apologies, sir. It's all at the same time.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, they all at the same time.
So rude.
Oh, no, my bad. Yeah. Look, I've gone Chelsea at home. Bournemouth, it's not going to be an easy game, but I'm going to go Chelsea.
Then you've got West Ham and Fulham. Who'd you go? I've gone Chelsea.
Chelsea as well? Cool. Yeah.
Can you listen, man?
I'm in my own little world
he's
here.
He's just sitting there looking at his notes, just ignoring me completely. See the conversations we have here? I'm so disrespected. Contacting HR.
Just yourself?
Yeah. Hey.
Fuck T.
He's being mean to me again.
Fuck T.
Yeah, you're right, James.
You're awesome.
Yeah. Then the second game, we've got West Ham and Fulham. I've gone Fulham for the win on this one. I think West Ham's doing too badly. However, there is the whole new manager kind of theory that we have going on.
Look, I did have a draw initially, but then I just looked at the team and, bro, Fulham just so much better. And I don't care who goes in for West Ham. They're going to struggle.
That's what I mean. They've got Fulham.
I've gone Fulham, yeah.
Then we've got Brentford and City. I think this will be a good game. I think it'll be pretty open. Both teams to score for sure.
Yep.
But I've gone City.
I've gone draw.
I think that's a good choice.
Brentford have a good record at home.
Didn't you just say in the last seven, they haven't drawn ever?
Yeah, so they've played seven games and haven't drawn ever.
Yeah.
Two to Brentford, five to City. I feel like it's time.
Oh, they do. Like they do.
It's due, yeah.
Ah,
it's
due. The old gambler's science, eh?
Dude, I live by that rule. Yeah. It's due.
So the Harlem Globetrotters have won the last 108 games in a row.
Ah, I thought they were due. He's spinning the ball in his finger.
Then we've got probably the game of the round, the redemption. Forest versus Liverpool. This is going to be a hard game, right? Forest does have an FA Cup game in between, like we do.
Yes.
But we also have an EFL Cup game. So we've got two games prior to this. They've only got one.
Now, to be fair, I reckon you'll obviously play a full squad in the EFL Cup, but you will not play a proper squad in the FA Cup against Accrington.
It'll be our kids, right? For sure.
Yeah. Now, Forest don't have a deep squad like you do. And I'll find you.
I think that'll work in our advantage.
Yeah, definitely.
That we'll be able to rest some players, but you're still going to see the likes of. You're still going to have some players that'll play, like either Jota or Darwin Nunes will have to back up. Maybe an Alexis or a Gravenberch will have to back up as well.
Yeah, because you haven't got a fully deep squad, but you are like Harvey Elliott will start.
But I can tell you, if Slot is thinking about anything this entire week, it is him beating Forrest. That was the only loss of his 2024 calendar year.
Bro, how crazy is that?
That's so crazy. He brings it up in every interview. So I'm pretty sure he's coming for blood in that game. I should have held my triple captain for that game. But I've gone Liverpool in that.
I've actually gone Forrest.
They got our number twice.
I think it's going to be like, you remember when Arsenal beat Leicester twice in the season? They mm-hmm. still lost. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be the same here. I think they'll beat you guys twice. I think you guys will still win the league, but Forrest will have your number. And Forrest will be like, we beat the champions twice.
There they are. They'll do an Arsenal.
Yep.
Then we've got Newcastle and Wolves. I think pretty obvious Newcastle.
Newcastle on fire at the moment.
Then we've got Everton and Villa.
Dude, interesting game.
I've gone draw too.
Yeah. I think it'll be a grimy, gritty, typical Everton game.
I think
Villa will actually get... They'll get caught in their heads if Everton play the dark arts
this,
like they
this
do.
This is Duran's last suspension for
He's
his...
still out, yeah. Yeah.
We never actually got info back on what happened with him putting his apology forward.
Did you know the audio came out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
The ref was going to give a yellow, and then he saw that the Newcastle player was like going for his back or his leg or something. And he goes, oh, no, he's gone for something. It's red.
What?
Yeah, that was the audio.
Yeah.
That was the audio. You go, what?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah. So, look, Duran's still out. Watkins had a bad game on the weekend. I don't see him picking up.
I don't think he's not as influential as he was last season.
It's going to be a grimy, grimy draw.
I think so too. Then we've got Leicester and Palace. I'm actually going the same direction with this one. I'm going draw.
Yeah, I've gone draw too. I actually think... Actually, you know what? No, I'm going to change it. I'm changing my mind.
Oh, shit.
Leicester still suck. I'm going to go Palace.
He's going Palace.
Yeah, I'm swapping to Palace. Look, they played
well.
It could
easily happen. You can have Saar and you can have Eze have a game.
Yeah, look, Palace played well against us. Leicester did play well in their game, but eventually obviously lost to Villa. But I'll swap to Palace.
All right. Then we've got Arsenal's cup final. Arsenal versus Tottenham. Fundamentally, if they win this game...
They can quit the rest of the season. Yeah.
They don't worry about the rest of the season. Yeah, they're happy. I've tipped Arsenal here because it's their cup final.
Yeah, I've tipped Arsenal too. I think like your game is the game of the round. This is the set top.
But also, I think Tottenham's going to obviously try and play a full squad against us. We'll run them pretty ragged, I think.
Yeah, and with the injuries. Look, I understand Arsenal have injuries, but Tottenham's injury list, suspension list, and what's going on is just out of control. I think it'll be a high scoring game. But yeah, I just have Arsenal.
Then we've got Ipswich and Brighton. I've gone Ipswich.
Yeah, okay.
I've gone Ipswich because they're at home. Yep. I think Brighton have struggled a bit away.
That's a good point.
Ipswich seem to be going into form, whereas Brighton are kind of slipping on their form.
Look, Brighton played well against Arsenal. I don't know if they'll be able to keep the same structure they did against Ipswich because they play the ball so well. Dalap is starting to come into his own, mm-hmm. but I've actually gone draw.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it goes either way of that.
Yep.
Then last game of the round, Man U and Southampton. I've gone Man U just because Southampton are so bad.
That's it, yeah.
But to be fair, Southampton could get points in this.
They could, yeah, it could happen, but I've gone Man U as well. They need to continue that form against you guys. The way they played against you guys, they need to keep doing it.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't think they'll be able to play at that level with that emotion and, you know, that
right,
kind
it's
of
totally
grit.
Different. You go from Anfield to fucking playing against Southampton.
Oh,
so,
of course. Yeah. Of course.
Should we move into fantasy?
Yeah. And I think I didn't do too badly this week.
Yep.
My triple captain idea was probably not the greatest.
Look, sometimes it comes off. Look, it was a good idea. It was a good idea.
Well, look, so I made my sub this week and put Dubravka in. After turmoil, I go and put Dubravka in. I'll get 3 points out of him. Alexander-Arnold gets a big fat zero.
Big fat zero.
I got saved with Kirkez in my back line getting 12 and Murillo getting 9. Guardiola, nice. 2 only.
Yep.
My triple captain, Salah, gets me 21 points. Palmer got me 10. Mm-hmm. Chris Wood got me 8 and Ishak got me 7 for a total of 76.
Nice.
I am spewing that I had Ahmad on my bench.
Oh, what'd he get?
And he got 9. So if I could have got him on for Kulusevski, I would have been in the 80s.
Nice.
However, I've progressed in my cup, the overall cup. I'm now up to the round of 262,144.
Hey, quarter mil, that's good.
Versus Enfield of Dreams.
Enfield? Like?
Enfield. Like, just like, down the
right
road.
Right up the road.
Enfield of
local
Dreams.
Local derby.
Local derby. He got 73 last week, so let's see how we do.
Yeah, nice. Well, I think we should start following that, actually. I'm going to actually put that on the Instagram page. I want to see. Or maybe we'll leave it. We won't jinx it.
Let's not jinx it. The cup run's going okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
All right. So look, I got 63 this week. My trade was for Gabriel Jesus. Obviously didn't work out. He got two. but my big scorers were Kirkez as well. I had Milinkovic from Forest, who got six. I did captain Salah, just regular captain. He got 14. I had Palmer. Jacob Murphy got me 5 and Wood got me 8. And then my strikers were Jesus and Jackson, did nothing. And then look, I'm not going to make any changes up until after the FA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that I really, really, really need to get rid of is James Maddison. I put him in when Saka got injured. Ever since I put him in my team, he's been starting on the fucking bench. How? Yeah. What the fuck? As soon as I go, all right, I'm going to put Maddison in my team, he goes, oh, you're going to start on the bench. Every single week. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, look, bro, he's really screwing you over, man.
Oh, badly. I just go kill him. Okay. And then sub him out of my team.
Yeah. Ah, well, it's a free transfer if he's dead, right?
I have to sub him out, right?
Yeah. It's a free transfer, right? Come on, guys. Yeah, no, so I think I'm going to be the same. I'll do all my transfers after FA Cup, make sure no one's getting injured.
That's it, yeah.
But see how the teams hold up, but I think we won't have an episode next week.
No, we'll hold off for next week. We're going to be away enjoying some Bali sun.
Yeah. No one wants to hear the state that we'll probably be in.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone enjoy when we're back. We'll drop a new app. But until then, enjoy.
Thank you, everyone.